Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we love you today. God, thank you for just being reminded today of your goodness and how much we need you, Lord God. We desperately need you today. And I just pray now, God, that your spirit, God, speaks, that your spirit encourages and equips and reminds us, Lord, of where we need to be in life, Lord, and that's with you. So God, just pray, God, that our hearts are wide open to whatever you say to us, whatever that is, Lord, speak to us now, and may we have a heart to change for you because you first loved us. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Eddie's out today. His daughter's got married, and so you're stuck with the youth pastor today for a little while. Hope you guys don't mind that. We're going to be looking at some scripture today, Psalm 90:12. We're going to be in Psalm. We're going to be in James some. We're going to be in Matthew. So we're going to be skipping around a little bit, but just want you to know that up front. Whenever I was in high school, there was a day whenever I was sick. And so like most of those days, I wasn't at school that day. I recovered very, very quickly and came back to school the next day. And everybody's like, dude, you should have been here. And I'm like, what? What happened? He said, man, there was a fight. And I'm like, there was a fight. And so, you know, not being as spiritual as I am now, we all wanted to see fights at school. You know, we just wanted to see them. We didn't want to be in them. We wanted to see them. I was like, I missed a fight. They're like, yeah, not only that, but our chemistry teacher was out. We had a sub and we had no class. And I'm like, what in the world? All in one day. They said, not only that. Now, I don't know about your school, but Simpson County School, let me tell you, we didn't have food that was all that good, okay? But every once in a while on the menu, we would have fried chicken. And these, to me, were homemade rolls, okay? I don't know. But to me, they were homemade. And I missed that too, that day, all in one day. And I'm like, how in the world could that happen all in one day? There was a time whenever I was in college, I worked at a bank for 5 years. And so I was a teller. I worked the drive-through. And I was out for school. I came back the next day. They're like, Chris, you would never believe what came through the drive-through. And I'm like, what? They're like, there's this dude on a horse, man. He came by. And I'm like, dadgummit, I missed it. Are you kidding me? I don't know why that was a big deal to me in college, but I wanted to see guy on horse come up and through the drive-thru. I wanted to be a part of that, right? But so much can happen in a day. So much can happen in an hour. So much can happen in 1 minute. Football, everybody's finally over. Well, we do have one more game tomorrow night. I know we do. One more college game tomorrow night. But think about football games, right? The last minute, last second plays. I mean, I could say Texas A&M and LSU for anybody who knows anything about college football this year. You've seen things turn around and change in a minute. Have you ever sat down to watch a movie and it's already started like 15 minutes in? You're like, I don't know what's going on, right? So somebody help me out. I don't know who these people are on the screen. You got to catch up. You got to figure it out because you miss those moments. Any hunters in the house? Anybody like to hunt? A few of y'all. Oh, I know a lot more of you guys. Megan's like me, right? I grew up deer hunting on pipelines, right? We didn't do like ryegrass or, well, I don't know if you guys plant ryegrass here in the Delta, wheat here in the Delta. But growing up, I was very distracted a lot because I was a kid. But you would have to be on your game because these deer would be walking and I would be doing something, just kind of hanging out, being a kid. And I'd look up and the deer would already be gone. I'm like, golly, I missed it, right? And so in that moment, that was a big deal. Because in those moments, you can miss out on a lot. And so when you think about time is the only resource that everybody has the same amount of, right? Whether it's the president of the United States, a college student, if you're retired, we all have the same amount of time every day, 24 hours in one day. But most of us aren't happy with the time that we have. I think that we think that we never have enough time, right? Man, life is busy. If you're a student, you have homework, you have practice, you have church, you have family, you have friends, maybe you have a job, and so things are busy. Maybe if you're an adult, you've got a job, you've got a marriage, you've got church, you've got kids, you've got bills to pay, right? Which leads you to maybe want another job to pay for every bit of that, right? Maybe for some of us, we're not managing our time wisely. Maybe we're on the internet a little bit too much. Maybe we're binge watching Netflix. Maybe we like to sleep in and sleep a lot. I know teenagers, I can never call them over Christmas break past like 12 o'clock in the afternoon because they're all asleep, right? Or maybe for you, you're waiting for a better time. You're waiting for your kids to graduate. You're waiting, maybe if you're a student, if you're in college, you're waiting to graduate, right? Or maybe you're waiting for the day that you can finally retire and stop working. And so you're kind of living for the future, right? Instead of focusing on right now. Or maybe for you, the opposite is true. Maybe you're living in the past. Whenever things seem to be a little bit sweeter, maybe a little bit better than they are now, and maybe they were, right? And so you wish you could just kind of go back in time, and you kind of spend a lot of time on the past. Last week, I wasn't here. I had a really bad stomach virus. It was really, really bad. Let me tell you, there were some times during that stomach virus I was wanting time to speed up and hurry up so I could get past that, right? There was a time a week and a half ago, right before I got a stomach virus, and my mom and dad were up, and we were all playing cards. We love to play cards. We were playing this game called Hand and Foot. Don't know if you guys know about that game. They're like, hey, people who play are like, yeah, that's me, man, Hand and Foot, right? But we're playing that with the family, with my parents. My mom is 71. My dad is 72, and you know, just realizing their age and knowing, you know, man, you know, I don't know when they're going to pass on, but I'm just thinking, you know, man, it may not be that far off. And I'm looking at my kids and we're having a good time. And in that moment, I kind of stepped back and I just wanted time to stop for just a second, right? And just kind of enjoy the moment of what was happening in my house at that time. Some of you guys know this, but Haley, my daughter, she got engaged on Tuesday. And so she called me Tuesday. I knew that it was going to happen. And she's like, Dad, he proposed. I'm like, I know, you know, I knew it was coming. And so, but I talked to her and, you know, just I told her that I loved her. And I got off the phone and I was like, where did the time go? Right? Man, 20 years like that, gone. And so I think sometimes we forget that time is limited and that time is very valuable. But many days, and I'm not just preaching to you, this is to Chris as well. Many days we don't live like it is, right? We get frustrated sometimes whenever we don't have enough time, right? When maybe sometimes we're not handling the time that we have in the right way. So we're going to look at the life of Moses for just a second. And Moses, to look at his story, his mom puts him in a basket because she's afraid that he is about to be killed and puts him in a river. Pharaoh's daughter finds her, and then they end up getting Moses' mother to be able to take care of him, which is a really cool story there. He grows up, and there's an Egyptian and a Hebrew fighting, and he ends up killing the Egyptian, hides the body, and takes off on the run to Midian because people are finding out about it. And then later on, he is there, and he sees a burning bush that's not really burning, and God is talking to him and saying, hey, I need you to lead my people out of Egypt because they're in slavery. And he's like, whoa, 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 God, you've got the wrong guy. I don't speak well. I can't do that. But he ends up leading them out of slavery, out of Egypt. Pharaoh finally lets them go. It took a lot of plagues to do that. They're going to the promised land and they end up wandering around for 40 years. But in the middle of that, the Israelites depended on God every single day for food and for water and for protection. Now, Moses, he wasn't perfect, but he was their leader the entire time. And so the outskirts of the promised land, there's a new leader about to take Moses' place, and his name is Joshua. And so before he dies, Moses gives kind of a farewell speech. He's 120 years old. He's been in the desert since he was 80. Now that's pretty impressive, walking around in the desert for 40 years. And he's tired. He can't lead anymore. His time had a cap, just like yours does, just like mine does. And he tells Joshua, hey, be strong, be courageous, be unafraid, because God is with you. And now he knows that Joshua is about to lead a lot of people with a lot of opinions, right? He is about to have to make a lot of hard choices. And he says, be strong, be courageous, God is with you. And it was the same thing that God told Moses whenever he wanted him to lead as well. And so if you look at Moses' story, most of it is in the early books of the Old Testament. But in Psalms, we find a prayer there. Psalm 90:12. And we find a prayer from Moses. And Moses begins to talk about how big God is, right? He says things like, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by. So he's talking about how big God is, and then he begins to talk about how we are so small in comparison to God. And so in the middle of this prayer, this is what he says. He says this, teach us to number our days. Now, most people believe that he wrote this while they were wandering around, right? I mean, it's easy to number your days if you're wandering around because things went so slowly. They're like, hey, what'd you do yesterday? Well, I walked around. The same thing I did the day before and the day before and they did the day before, over and over and over. But Moses puts things into perspective. Listen to this. He says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And so there's purpose in being taught. Being taught is, hey, God, teach me to do this because this doesn't come natural to me. God, I need your help in this to be able to number my days so that I can gain a heart of wisdom. Now, Moses leads a life that of someone who is poor, someone who is rich, a shepherd, underdog leader, a national hero. But yet he still realizes in the middle of that, he still realizes that time is a limited resource. And that's why he prayed, God, show us how to live like we have limited time so that we can be careful and smart with the time that we have. Because most of us, including me, live like our days aren't numbered, don't we? And because life is crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. Work, schedule, just like I said before, the pressures of this world and this life, and we get in that routine, and you go, and you go, and you go, and you're spinning around, and you don't know if you're going or coming, and you step back sometimes, and you're like, man, what's this thing all about? What's life really about in the end? Because it can feel like time is unlimited at times in life. But the truth is, it's not. It absolutely is limited. But the problem is when we have an unlimited amount of something, sometimes we tend to waste that. Think of food. Think about this Christmas break. How much food did you have? Man, we had so much food, and I bought this and that and the other. We were ready to go, and then we had some food given to us. And I'm like, what am I going to do with it all? And I actually had to throw away some food. I'm like, man, what is this? It's gone bad already. We didn't even eat it all. We had so much. Think about toilet paper for just a second. All right? I'm just saying. I guess I'm the youth pastor, so I can get away with this, I guess. But honestly, think about that. You're like, oh, we got a whole stack here. Things are going good. And all of a sudden, 10:30 at night, you're like, uh-oh. All right? And you're begging everybody, right? Two sheets, that's all you get, right? I don't know what you said, but I bet it was funny, Justin. I live in Hollandale, and in Leland, we had natural gas. In Hollandale, we've got propane. And propane's pretty expensive, at least it is for me and in my world, right? And so It feels really good when that truck is there and they're filling it up. And I'm like, this is going to be great. Keep her house warm. This is going to be super. Bump it on. It's okay. Bump it on up. When I go down the tank and it's about like 6% left, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Stop. Everything stops. And my kids know, turn it down. 63. They're like, Dad, we're shivering. We can see our breath. Sorry, kids, right? But whenever I realize that it's not going to last forever, things change. Things change. And so you and I have 365 days a year. I guess it would be 359 now because of where we are for 2019, right? You have 365 days a year to spend your time, and you don't spend it all on what you want. There's some things that you have to do. On average, and this is on average, and I know there's going to be some that's more and some that's a lot less, okay? But this is just on average. 121 days spent sleeping, 86 days working, 20 days driving, 15, and once again, this is some more, some less, 15 days in personal hygiene. So if you add it all up and do the math, it's about 123 days that you and I have left, 123 days. Right? That you get to decide what you want to do with that. And it seems like a lot, but really it's easy to waste 123 days, right? It is. And most of these days come and go really, really fast. But these days are important. These days make a difference. And we need to use them as if they're numbered instead of them being unlimited. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't rest, because you should. God told us to do that. Man, that's a command that we need to do. And some of y'all are going to do a good job of that after lunch today. You're going to rest. And that's a good thing, right? But just remember that time is a limited resource. Not only remember that, but to live like it is. To live that out in your everyday schedule on purpose. That your time is a limited resource. That your time is valuable. And so Moses learned this, and he tried to pass it to us, to number our days, to pray to God. God, teach us, remind us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And so most of us realize this whenever there's a tragedy, right? When tragedy strikes, when there's a funeral, we kind of wake up for a little bit. Man, I need to make it count. If something happens for me right now, I don't know if this is a midlife crisis or what, but I'm 45. And so I'm like, man, the students are really brutal to me, by the way. And they remind me about how old I am. Rebecca Robinson is smiling right now because she knows she helps me out with that. But I'm like, and I'm not saying this is old, but I'm like, in 5 years, I'll be 50, you know? And I'm like, oh, not that that's bad or old, but just me. I'm just telling what I'm dealing with. I'm telling you my stuff today. And then I'm like, in 15 years, I'll be 60. And I know how fast 15 years goes, right? And so with Moses' prayer, we don't have to wait on something bad to happen to be reminded about the truth, to gain perspective in life. We can begin to pray for that now. What an example that we have in Moses' prayer. And that should be our prayer. God, wherever we are in life, Lord, teach me to number my days so that I can gain a heart of wisdom. So here's another perspective from James. James is the half-brother of Jesus. Listen to what he says. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. That's you and me, right? We're here and then poof, we're gone. Isn't that encouraging? Thank you, James. Thank you for that today, right? But that's what we need kind of to wake us up and see, because don't we get kind of lost or mesmerized with this world, with our schedules or the things of this world, that we can be lulled asleep and forget what's really important in life, to know that you are but a mist. You are here today and then gone. So think about your life. Think about your life. How are you spending your time? And this is not a time to think about somebody else or your spouse or your kids or a family member. This is about you. This is about me. Think about that. How are you spending your time? And are you treating your time with value? Or are you wasting it away? Think about the things that are important to you. Is it your 401k? You got to go, you got to give, you got to contribute to that, because one day you're going to retire and things become channeled and focused on how much money you have. Is it your job? Man, you got to get the raise, you got to get the promotion, you got to do what it takes, sometimes even sacrificing your family along the way. Is it your status? You want everybody to think you're something when really you're not, right? But you want everybody to see you in a certain way. So maybe you feel good about yourself. Maybe there's some insecurities there, really. What's important to you? Is it pleasure? Is it entertainment? Is it comfort? I think that we spend an awful amount of time and money and energy on pleasure and entertainment and comfort, when the bigger question is, I think, what should be important to us? So let's look at that for just a second. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. And I love to remember this, that these are the words of Jesus. These are the words of our Savior, the one that gave up his life for us. These are the words from the one that we want to be like. And this is what he says. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths or vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So to store up something means it takes time. It takes energy. It takes a lot of work. Back in the day when I was a kid, I joined the coin collectors club in school. Don't be impressed, right? But I learned a lot about coins and the value of them and this, that, and the other. And I began to kind of like that challenge. And I began to really store up and collect some things. And those things were very, very important to me. But if you store up anything, it takes time. It takes energy. And you have to invest in that. He says, "Do not store up treasures on earth where moth and vermin." I was like, vermin. You know, I've heard that before. I was like, I know that that's not good, right? But I'm like, what is that? It's like animals and bugs that like spread disease, right? And so where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Because those things aren't going to last. It's like spending all of your time and your energy on something that in the end, it's not going to be there. It's going to disappear. It's going to waste away. It's going to be stolen. Things are going to come and destroy these things. It could be your bank account. It could be your car, your truck, your house, your food, your clothes. It could be something that you like to do. Deer season is like 3 weeks, guys, and it's going to be gone, right? And we spend an awful amount of time on these things. But he says, do store up. Do spend a lot of time and energy and invest in treasures in heaven where moth and vermin cannot destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. Wish I had a little MC Hammer, "Can't Touch This" right now, right? That's exactly what it is. Can't touch this. You can't. In the end, at the end of the day, at the end of your life, man, there's going to be treasures for you in heaven. And I think that what we have to really think and look at is, do we really believe that? Do we really believe the Word of God? To where we will not only say that we do and believe, but we will live it out in our everyday lives. Right? Those things are going to last. Now, what are treasures in heaven? Right? What are the things that you need to be storing up? And it's eternal things. It's acts of obedience to God with the right heart. And it really has to do with people. Because in the end, you and I, we have a soul. And that is eternal. Because when we die, right? If we are believers in Jesus, we will be in heaven. And if we are not, then we will not be in heaven. We will be in hell. Once again, do we really believe that? And I think about 2018, I think about that, and I think about some people maybe that were here in 2018 that aren't here anymore. Right? Maybe you got the phone call, man, something tragic happened or something happened and they got sick and they didn't make it and they passed. And probably, and once again, I'm not trying to scare anybody or get all like, ooh, right? I'm just trying to be real, because the truth is in 2019, we're going to get some phone calls, and likely there might be people in this room that in 2020 won't be here. And so that kind of wakes us up some to hopefully have a sense of urgency that the people in your life, in your pathway, at your school, at your work, in your family, in your neighborhood, they all have souls. And they need to know about Jesus. And you don't know when they're going to pass. You don't know when you're going to pass, right? And so hopefully that gives us a sense of urgency to go, hey, I need to make my time count in the things that I have for His kingdom. So some examples of this might be your money. Well, Chris, I thought you just said that you're not going to have the money anyway. This is what I'm saying, that giving back to God. And whenever you give your tithe, your 10% back to God, that is an act of obedience with the right heart. And in the end, you are helping promote the kingdom and the gospel, and in the end, changing lives. Guess what you're doing whenever you give your tithe and you invest in that? That's what you're doing. You are investing and you're storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's what you're doing. Maybe for you is you need to be more intentional about your walk with God, and you need to spend time, your time with Him, more of that in God's Word and in prayer, right? Understanding and knowing, God, I can't do this by myself. God, I need You in my life. God, help me with this. I want to get to know You more. And as you spend time in His Word, you are encouraged, and that changes you. Remember, you have a soul. You are a person. And in the end, that impacts everybody that's in your life, right? I mean, whenever we spend time with God and we grow in Christ, man, that impacts so many people other than just yourself. Maybe for you, your spiritual gift is encouragement, and you know that you need to encourage more. You need to build others up, because in the end, that helps them, that builds them up in Christ, so that they can in turn go out and encourage others as they go about their way and impact others. Maybe for you, you have children, and you know that you need to disciple your children. Your time is very valuable, because your children will not always be in your home. And I remind our students all the time, you're not going to always be in your house, and your mom and dad are not always going to be on this earth. Make it count. Man, what an awesome responsibility that we parents have to disciple our children. Maybe for you, and I've been guilty of this a lot, you've been in a neighborhood for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and you still don't know who your neighbor is. And maybe for you, man, to store up some treasures in heaven, it means to walk across the street and knock on the door and say, hey, I'm Chris Johns, and I've been your neighbor a long time. I just came to say hey, and to begin a relationship on purpose with a neighbor who has a soul, who when they die, if they don't know Him, will not be with God. And so you want to do something about that, and you want to invest in them in the end. Maybe for you, you know you need to be stretched, and you need to go on a mission trip, and you need to talk to us about going out of this country. Or maybe some ministries that are involved here in our town. Or maybe you need to volunteer in the kids ministry. That you know, man, I don't, I don't feel qualified for that. I don't know if I can do that. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little scared. But that in the end, when you take that plunge and you take that risk, man, God's growing you and doing something in your life. And as you give to others, you're storing up treasures in heaven. Maybe for you, you need to share the gospel with somebody, the good news of what Jesus has done in your life and what he can do for them. And maybe that's somebody at work. Never underestimate the awesome privilege that we have at work to be a light, a shining light at work. And there's some hard people to love at work, isn't there? It's tough. It's tough. Because a lot of people don't act like Jesus at work, do they? They don't. And it's easy to not love them. But in the end, man, we're not going up against them. We're going up against the devil. Man, and that person needs Christ. But maybe you need to share the gospel with a friend. Maybe you need to share the gospel with the group of people that I think, to me, is the hardest to share the gospel with, and that's with your family. Man, why is it so hard to communicate what God's done in your life sometimes? Maybe that's not for you, but it is for me. Or maybe it's just like we've been singing, surrender. You need to give up some things for God. You need to give up maybe your money and give. You need to give up your time, your stuff to invest in other people, to build them up so that they can know Christ. The question is, where is your treasure? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because in the end, it's all about the heart. And it's really cool because with God, it's always about the heart. Man, he cares about you and he cares about your heart. He cares about what you love and the things that we focus on. And so another question to ask is why? The question why is always a good question to ask. If you ask me why and I can't tell you why, then things aren't on the up and up. We need to always know, why in the world do we need to do this? I'm going to ask Dylan Robinson to come up here. He has no idea that I'm going to get him up here. Dylan Robinson, I was scanning the crowd going, who am I going to pick? And I saw Dylan. I love me some Dylan. Dylan, you can stand right here on this top step right there. Dylan Robinson is going to be an example, and he didn't know that he was going to be an example. He has no idea. Whenever we talk about why, because why is a huge question. And so Dylan is going to represent you and me and the whole world. Dylan Robinson is messed up. Sorry, Dylan, you're messed up. Dylan Robinson is messed up just like we are. Every single one of us are because of the sin that we commit. And because of that sin, Dylan is separated from God. Dylan cannot get to God. No matter what he does, no matter how much money he gives, no matter how much he's in church, no matter how good he feels about himself, no matter if his good deeds outweigh his bad deeds, Dylan cannot get to God. No matter if his mom and dad love God, Dylan still cannot get to God because of his sin. Nothing that he can do. But God, with his compassion and his love for Dylan, saw Dylan where he was and gave up and sacrificed for Dylan. He gave something that was very precious to him, and that was his son, Jesus Christ. Lived on this earth, born on this earth. We just celebrated Christmas. Born on this earth, lived a perfect life, sin-free life, so that he could pay for the sins of Dylan and for you and mankind. And he paid that penalty, an enormous, enormous penalty for us. And Jesus was buried after he died, and on the third day he rose again. And then he went back into heaven, but he defeated death and sin. And so now this is the really cool part, because maybe Dylan was trying to give a lot of money. And maybe Dylan was trying to be really, really, really good so that he could get to God. But now he doesn't have to do any of that. But now all that Dylan has to do is just say, hey, you know what? And I've sinned a lot. And that sin, God, separates me from you. And God, I have seen how much you love me. I see your love for me, and I am drawn to you, God. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. And if he believes on Jesus and gives him his life, Scripture says he'll be saved. It says this, that salvation is a gift. Nothing that Dylan does to deserve it. That is really, really cool because of the fact that he did nothing to deserve that. Thank you, Dylan. I appreciate that. And so as we think about that and we remember in the end the goodness of our God, man, may that encourage you and encourage me to really look at the time that we spend and say, I've got to invest my time in other people. I have to invest my time in my walk with Christ because as a dad, I've got to lead my family, right? I've got to lead my wife. I've got to do these things well so that in the end, I can honor him. I can worship him with my life. I can make his name known in the end because it's not about me. It's about drawing other people to my God through my life. Scripture says we have a ministry of reconciliation, that we have a ministry. You didn't know that. Maybe you didn't know that. You've got a ministry, and that's to help people be reconciled with their God through the way that you live your life. I don't want that responsibility. If you're a believer, too bad. It's yours. God has given it to you. And what an awesome responsibility that it is for us. And so I'm going to challenge you to do something real quick. All right? I'm going to challenge you, if you have a pen or a pencil, something to write on, if you'll get that out, or your phone, all right? If you'll get that out real quick, give you just a second. Everybody, if just please get that out real quick. Let everybody get that for just a second. Something to write on, or you can use your phone and notes or whatever you use. And I'm going to give you just about 60 seconds to do this, okay? Is that if your days were numbered, and they are, if your days were numbered, what would you do differently? If your days were numbered, what would you do differently? I'm going to give you about 60 seconds to write that down. And it may not just be one thing, but it may be one thing, then another thing, and another thing. That's okay. Write whatever God puts on your heart. If your days were numbered, what would you do differently? It's going to be a little uncomfortable. It's going to be quiet. It's okay. This is what I'm going to challenge you to do with that. I'm going to challenge you, and this is a challenge. Man, I think that it is good to be here, and it is good to hear the word and to be challenged. But guys, we've got to do something with what God is showing us and what he's asking us to do. I'm going to challenge you to share that with somebody today. And for those of you who are married here, man, what an incredible opportunity just to get together this afternoon and say, hey, what was on your list? What was on your list? And to be able to talk about that. Or moms and dads to say, hey, what was on your list to your kids? But to be able to share that with somebody today, because I think what that also does too is that gives us a level of accountability that in the end we all need, right? Not only that, but if you keep things to yourself, and I believe this with all of my heart, the odds of you going through with whatever is on your sheet there, they go way up if you tell somebody about that. Man, there's something about talking about what God's doing in your life and what God is showing you to encourage you and to help you be accountable for things as well. And so maybe for you,
Maybe for you, you wrote something down like, you know what? I need to have a date night with my wife because I need to spend time with her because she matters. And I want my marriage to grow and I want my marriage to be a reflection of God. And so that's going to take some time. Probably take a little bit of money, right? But that in the end, that time to be able to grow together is huge. Maybe for you, you wrote something down like, hey, I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock. I'm going to use my time wisely. I'm going to exercise, which is very difficult. It's very hard. I'm going to exercise because I know that my body is the temple, right? And I want to be an example there. And then I'm going to spend time with God in His Word and in prayer every morning. Maybe for you, you're like, hey, you know, for us, our family's crazy. Things are hectic. We're just going to sit down 3 nights a week at the table, no TV, no devices, and we're going to look at each other. We're going to talk to each other because our time together as a family is important. And by the way, it's not going to always be that way. You're not going to always be together. Maybe for you, you're like, I need to trust God with my money. And maybe for you, for the first time, you're going to invest and store up treasures in heaven and give back to Him. Maybe for you, you realize that what God really wants is for you to be reconciled with somebody else. Maybe somebody in your family, and you need to apologize, or you need to at least be willing to sit down and tell them that you care about them and that you love them and that you're willing to work things out. Maybe for you, for the first time, you need to forgive somebody. And maybe that person might be yourself because of whatever happened in the past, and you're struggling with that. And so, I'll just be a little transparent. I'm going to share with you what's on my list. For me, I put down more time in the Word with my kids and wife. Man, because I struggle with that. I struggle with really taking the time to sit down in God's Word with my family and praying with them. Also here, I've got the time that I spend wasting worrying about things that I cannot control. Right? And so you are missed. You're here for just a very short time, and then you're gone. And so make it count by counting your days. All right, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Him. And follow Him. And as you sacrifice and give, I promise y'all, it is sweet. Whenever you do that, whenever Jesus talks about the abundant life that He came to give us, you will experience abundant life along the way by denying yourself and giving up what you want. Because in the end, you're being like Jesus. The band's going to come, and we're going to have a time of invitation. And I want to challenge us that if you're struggling, not if, because we all are, right? With anything that you're struggling with, I want to challenge you today, maybe to do something a little bit different. Because a lot of times it's Eddie and it's me, and it feels kind of awkward to, you know, come down front, but if you need to do that, we want to challenge you to do that. We want to challenge you to come down here to be able to go before the Lord and do that. You can kneel at your seat. But I know there's a lot of friendships here in this church. One thing about Emmanuel is we love each other, right? And man, I think it is a beautiful thing when one friend goes to another friend and grabs them and says, hey, can you pray for me? And maybe that's not done here. Maybe it's done in the back. Maybe it's done right there in the aisle. It's okay. But for us to know, man, my days are short. And I need to make that count. And for a lot of us, we're like, man, it doesn't even seem possible. Because things are so, so crazy and messed up. And just like we sang, our God is making all things possible. I'm going to pray for us, and then I challenge you. And to deal with whatever you need to deal with, get things right. Seek the Lord. Dear Lord God, thank you for your Son, Jesus, and just His goodness. And God, I just pray for us right now, for the next 3, 4, 5 minutes, God, as we focus on our hearts and where we really are in life, and maybe where we long to be with you, God, I pray that we'll call out to you God, that we'll confess our sins and just have the heart that says, God, I can't do this by myself. I need you. I need your help. I need your hope. Maybe for us, there's some things that we need to start doing in life. Maybe for us, there's some things that we need to stop doing in life. There's some things in the way, some addictions there that we need to tell you, God, about or tell somebody else about. And I pray for courage and strength today, that we will rise up, God, and we will respond exactly how you want us to. In your name I pray. Amen. You guys stand.